This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We saw him shooting and running towards our tent.
Yeah,
our
tent.
We heard the pop. That's when we walked out of the bathroom. We heard the pop. I didn't think nothing, but we both looked at the same time and saw him. He was putting the thing in, and then all of a sudden he just started walking towards our tent and just started shooting.
Once again, we wake up to find out something horrible about a mass shooting where innocent people, including young children, are killed. One in a bounce house, for God's sake, with his mother and grandmother as they watch him die in front of their faces. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hate to be opening the show in this way, but this is America, and this is something that we can't bury our heads in the sand on, I think, any longer. So it's Gilroy, the Gilroy Garlic Festival. I've been there many, many times when I lived in California. Very popular. And you have a six-year-old, like I described, Stephen Romero, who was in that bounce house. He was shot in the back, and it was just wrong place at the wrong moment when the bullet went off. You have a 19-year-old who people in the neighborhood say seemed like a nice kid, was quiet, family, was athletic. Boom, we have no idea. So the six-year-old wasn't the only one. There was a 13-year-old girl and a man in his 20s that were killed. And then at least 12 people were among the cavalcade of those that were injured. The 19-year-old gunman was killed by the cops, and they're investigating. It's still obviously very preliminary because they're pouring through what people remember and what they can find out about him from former teachers and people who knew him, people who lived in the neighborhood, like I mentioned. But so far, they're not stringing anything together except for the usual that you have a kid who's a loner. He's 19. Nobody seems to know anything horrible, but they don't know anything about him really either. And, you know, the public had to have their bag searches, their metal detector wands, security. I've been there. The security is what I would call pretty decent, pretty tight, but he gained entry by cutting through a fence. And then he used an assault-style weapon, sprayed gunfire from side to side, not aiming for anyone specifically, just spraying bullets. They killed him, the cops, within 1 minute. But in that 1 minute, that's what happened. How many people were wounded, and then those that I mentioned that were killed. This just should not be happening. And it sounds so naive and ignorant in a way to say we have to stop this. There has to be a way. But I believe there must be some deterrence. And what are those deterrents? Or how is it that we can't figure out a way to solve the problem of those that decide they're going to go on a horrific shooting spree, and why we keep having these things that bubble up? You've got heroes. There were people that were, you know, throwing themselves on top of people, and you have other people that were trying to, as soon as they heard a popping sound, were trying to navigate others around into others, you know, away from where they thought the gunfire was coming. But it was just so, it just unfolded so quickly. There's only so much you can do. As this persists, to me, one of the glaring things that is happening, that's not happening, that could make a difference, would be to classify, instead of completely throwing the label kook, mental illness, whatever it is. It's mental disease that so many in the country suffer from, for childhood traumas, for damaged brains, for what they have inherited through family, handed down, etc. And there has to be a better way to figure out how we can embrace some of these situations before they happen. In other words, help the people who are so young and so desperate, because usually it turns out to be the same make and model of person. The white loner dude who, by all accounts, seems nice, but retiring, and not too much is actually known about them. And then you find a treasure trove of anti-hate, crazy groups that they're fringely involved with, and they have no social life, none, period. Not, oh, they're shy. They have nothing but being, and a lot of times, a shut-in. So the fight to stop the insanity has to start with allowing, I think, people to come forward, people to get help, and to be able to openly treat what some are so plagued by and are so awkwardly trying to get through life with. And the shooter's been identified as Santino William Legan. And what motivated him to dress in fatigues, cut through that fence, and kill three people and wound all those others at the festival that his town was known for, that drew people from all over the place, 100,000 people plus, traipsing through Gilroy, California. Instagram. There were postings that included a photo of the festival urging people to read a book that argued power alone can establish moral right. The book, Might Makes Right, published in the 1800s. That was a posting just before the attack that Legan put up there. Boy, oh boy. Did he have any prior run-ins with police? No, they can't find that so far. They've had nothing of the sort. He had an apartment. He was originally from Gilroy. And there was even somebody who sold him the gun from Nevada that posted a note apologizing to families for having sold the weapon to him, feeling so awful. He said, I didn't know this individual, and this was Big Mike's Gun and Ammo. It was a page on Facebook, and he ordered the rifle off my internet page. When I did see him, he was acting happy and showed no reason for concern. I would never, ever, ever sell any firearm to anyone who acted wrong or looked associated with any bad groups like White Power. Everyone is my brother and sister, and I'm mourning for all the families, saying he was heartbroken over that happening. Wow. So the people who knew the family said they would have no suspicion that a mass shooter had been in their midst, none whatsoever, until 11 o'clock on Sunday. And this is, again, a very big festival. Awful. He had two brothers. And again, the family known for being athletic. They even had a boxing ring they had set up in the garage of their two-story home. And his mother was a retired high school teacher who was right there in the neighborhood. Wow. Just awful. Awful for the victims, no doubt about that. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, some odds and ends and a particularly interesting week on the Discovery Channel. What's it about? I'll tell you next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government. government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
It's here, and I watched the first Shark Week show. I don't think I'm ever getting back into the ocean again. They really, really have outdone themselves and scared me to death. So they start with the Megalodon, which actually was okay. It's supposedly, right, the 60-ton mega shark that ruled the ocean for 20 million years, fed off the giant whales, and then the whales disappeared, and they were suddenly gone. And paleontologists find these fossilized teeth that are giant, and they say it's the Megalodon. So there's always the mystery of the Megalodon. There is the movie The Meg with Jason Statham, which is crazy, crazy funny, but it does illustrate how giant the shark would be. So Rob Riggle is kind of the hosty dude of Shark Week this time around. And he did have a funny thing that they did, Eat, Pray, Chum, with his celebrity friends, where they actually were out among the sharks, and I thought that was kind of crazy. And then you had the triple threat on Monday, Sharks of the Badlands, Legend of the Blue, of the Deep Blue. And here's the one I watched that has made me decide I might be really a landlubber, even though I was definitely a big fan of the ocean. So it was called The Sharks of Headstone Hell. I'm going to try to get the one guy on the show because he blew me away with what he was doing. But it's in the South Pacific. There's this little tiny island or piece of land called Norfolk Island. And at the end of the 18th century, it was a penal colony. Really harsh. I mean, criminals were there. That's it. Boom, they threw them out on it. So that's why I got Headstone Hell, that nickname, I think. Now, oh, guess what? It is the biggest gathering spot of some of the largest tiger sharks on Earth. Yeah. So what happens is you get these full-size animal carcasses that get tossed into the sea by the people who live on the island, and the sharks feast on it. Well, guess what they're trying to determine? The sharks keep coming back because in their memory, they get this giant meal. So when they're looking for a meal, they come back. The concern is for people who surf on one particular area of the island, and you had these two divers that were out there underneath these sharks, these giant tiger sharks that were feeding off of a cow. And honest to goodness, I don't know how they did that. And they seemed scared. It didn't seem like, oh, we're filming this, and so we're going to exaggerate. It was scary. It was scary to see the size of those tiger sharks. We've heard of tiger shark attacks. And boom, they noticed that there were male sharks and female sharks, which is unusual. And then they noticed some, as they tagged two female sharks that came back to feast, remembering where they were, one 7 days after and one 11 days after. And they say, basically, we've opened up Pandora's box. Yeah, Headstone Hell. And this is only the beginning. What's to come? Dangerous waters, air jaws, strikes back, capsize, blood in the water, yikes. Return to Shark Island. Oh, prey of the shark. All kinds of things for Shark Week, which has been around since 1988. People watch this thing. Maybe they're like me. They just want to see what happens. I mean, we're just following along. We are the prey. And they have encircled us. All right, so this is Odds and Ends. You might not be a fan of Shark Week. You might not even care what I'm talking about with Shark Week and the Discovery Channel. But let me tell you, 34 million plus are watching. It's a BDD to a lot of people, and I'm kind of one of them. Yeah, kind of one of them. Did you get your free wings today? Darn, you missed. If you didn't, you could have gone to Buffalo Wild Wings or Wingstop or, you know, wherever, and had some of those national wings, but you missed it. I've said this before. I think if you look it up, every day is a something day. It is a marketer's fantasy, especially when it comes to food. So it was National Wing Day on Monday, and there was all kinds of deals out there for people to partake in. And I don't think that they carry over, unfortunately, to Tuesday, Wednesday, and the rest of the week, but I guarantee there'll be some other exciting food event to take place where you could get your free donut or your free piece of pizza or, you know, whatever it might be. Let's put it that way. Top Gun 2. You know Top Gun, right? You watch Top Gun with Tom Cruise, and you have to go back to what, the 80s for that, and now he's back again. So there really is a Top Gun 2. And this is going to be interesting to see, I think, how this goes over. I'm kind of interested. I was a big fan of the first one, like everyone I know that they watched Top Gun. So now, clearly, you've got Mav, who's probably in a much different role, Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. I would think that, I don't know, he may still fly, but given his age, I'm sure he's an instructory type guy. And I wonder how this goes over. I mean, I wonder how this goes over, actually. Somebody I know got a sneak preview of it, and they said it actually is pretty good. In the trailer that they saw was pretty good, and they have equal opportunity there because they've got a woman who is flying, too. It's not the all-boys club. Well, that kind of fits with the culture, right? And Maverick has a love interest in this. Jennifer Connelly is the love interest, so we'll see. How do you go back when you go back that many years? But listen, we are fools for the movies that we love and are nostalgic about it, and so there's something about the callback. And like in Speaking, this is a callback to people who know what Top Gun was and where they were and all that kind of stuff. And so it's kind of brilliant by if it's done well, it's kind of brilliant by the filmmakers, knowing that we lust for the good old days sometimes. And, yeah, that's, so to me, that's why I think it will draw some pretty big crowds. I'm just saying, right? Sad to say, if you didn't hear this already, their Capital One has had a massive data breach. A 33-year-old software programmer is caught in the crosshairs of that. I mean, that's the good news. They know how it is, who it is, rather. But the bad news of the whole thing is the fact that you may have had your information compromised. I mean, this is one of the biggest hits of all time. It affects 100 million customers. Yeah. So the FBI arrested Paige Thompson for the theft. It happened between March 12th and July 17th. She collected, data from a company cloud-based server, Social Security, bank account numbers, all that. And this is in Seattle. So she had been detained, or has been detained, pending an August 1st hearing. Computer fraud and abuse is punishable up to 5 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. So you got names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, dates of birth, self-reported income, bank account numbers. Of course, people who paid from a bank account. That's awful. So now we go to the breach again. And how do you protect yourself? At least she was caught, so the Capital One chairman has to be happy about that. But they'll say what they're going to say, that they're committed to making it right. But it doesn't help the people who had the big ripoff, right? Capital One says the incident is expected to cost between $100 and $150 million in 2019. But free credit monitoring, identity protection available to everybody that was affected. So if you have these cards, then take them up on it, because they know that they're going to lose trust and they're going to lose business. And, you know, bank accounts tied to secure credit cards compromised, never good. Because, you know, where does all the information go? Who has their hands on your personal information, and how damaging is that? That massive data breach is a very, very scary one, and more reasons why you have to make sure that you're protected, because it's easy to think it's okay until that happens and you're caught in the crosshairs of it and you have to untangle yourself from what could be a big ripoff of your personal information. Hang with us. We're taking you to Vietnam, an intriguing story, Father Vu, his fight to come to America and what it was like to be in Vietnam when everything was hell around him.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt. President Donald Trump has pardoned five men convicted of crimes, including theft, fraud, and drug trafficking, in addition to commuting the sentences of two others. The president commuted the sentences of Ted Sewell, who was convicted of bribery related to Medicaid fraud, and Ronan Nayami, a Florida man convicted of selling synthetic marijuana. The White House says he has five young children and his wife is suffering from terminal cancer. Trump's clemency action to date have tended to focus on household names and conservatives, including champion boxer Jack Johnson, former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, conservative commentator Dinesh D'Souza, and media mogul Conrad Black. He also freed Alice Johnson, who was serving life without parole for drug offenses after her case was championed by reality star Kim Kardashian West. Don't forget, you can listen to us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Well, I have to tell you, having a conversation with Father Peter Vu off the air was such a treat for me. And the various things that we were able to discuss before we actually now have sat down to do this interview that all of you are listening to, what an interesting man and what an interesting road he's taken to his vocation, and what a treat to have him on the show. And he's written a book called Living for a Higher Purpose, Story of a City Boy Who Survived the Vietnam War by Living for Jesus and Others. And this is certainly inspirational, and it's a memoir, and there's a lot of history here. So, Father Vu, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Let me send you and our listeners the native greeting from the people of Vietnam. Good morning, Vietnam! In the voice of Robin Williams, and the weather today is hot and humid, tomorrow hot and humid, and basically the same for the rest of the week.
Bravo, well done. You have a sense of humor. I love that sense of humor. And I'm sure that sense of humor helped you get through some really, really tough times. Take us back, because you talk about the history of what it was like because you were there as a young boy in Vietnam. What was it like for you in Vietnam, what you saw, and how you escaped that?
Well, Kate and audience, I was 5 years old when the war ended. You know, everything was exploding around me, but like anything, my parents was able to keep me from all that. We didn't watch a lot of that on the news. And I didn't know the war ended until the last day. And, you know, everything, my house is about 5-10 minutes bicycle ride from Tanzania Airport. And I saw, you know, airplanes, you know, running into the buildings and everything else, tanks all over the road, soldiers, you know, running naked and, you know, a lot of carnage on the street. I thought that was the last day that being described in the book of Revelation. And of course, after that, you know, the horrific, you know, life under the communist system. And my dad was taken to the concentration camp when I was 5 years old. And I had to find out where they took him and go to visit him. And then I did not see him. And by the miracle, he was released when I was in high school senior year. So life after the war was very tough, say the least. And I had to grow up fast. And, you know, everything there under the communists is something that regular people don't know how it was like. I myself basically tried to be the man of the home for my mom. And I remember when she and I went to visit my dad, it took us quite a few times to track down where he was and to bring food and to see him. And I basically had to go get all the basic necessities, you know, for the family, you know, from going to the well to get water, to get all the rice and basic necessity for the family. I remember the, you know, when the rice ran out, mostly in the book of Prophet Isaiah, you know, when the poor widow and the son did not have anything left. I thought that was, you know, the last day. But like in the Bible, I saw that miracles happen with the rice being filled up in my house because the communist was able to open up, you know, the rice distribution a little early. And so I went through all that. And of course, I don't know if you and the listener remember, this is the late 80s. So the Khmer Rouge was in Cambodia, killed a lot of people, and China was amassing a lot of troops on the north border of Vietnam. So I and all my friends, you know, was drafted when we were only in 10th grade to learn how all about weapons and how to pick up arms and all that. So that was quite an experience in itself. And of course, you know, I myself, you know, had to make a decision whether to stay in Vietnam or to leave and follow my God calling, my own vocation.
And for you to leave Vietnam, what was it like to leave Vietnam? How did you make that decision? And you see, now we see immigration and the crisis we're having at the border. Does that bring back memories for you? We see what's happening in South Florida with Cubans that were trying to escape and were on boats, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that was a tough decision, Kate. I myself, I was only 16 when I had to make that decision. And leaving everything behind was difficult because I grew up with, you know, my most Asian families are very quite, you know, connected. And we live together for 3 or 4 generations in the same household. So leaving everything, family and friends, was difficult. And heading for the unknown was difficult too. I don't know what happened, you know, about America. I just know it's a wonderful land, just like God's people in the Bible. I mean, they're trying to look for the promised land, but they don't know what's there. And I myself had to discern that. And, you know, if I stay, I would have to, you know, I would have to go to Cambodia to fight the Khmer Rouge or go up north to fight China. My dad worked for the South Vietnam, so I could not, go to college because they don't want, you know, people who work for the former regime, you know, the children, grandchildren, to succeed because they might turn against the communists. So I didn't have any choice, Kate. So I had to make that decision to go out into the unknown, and almost like the dark night of the soul. I did not succeed. You know, I had to try 3-4 times. And in the book, I describe how those failed times I had to go through. And one time I was captured. Other time I was able to escape. So when I was captured, they put me in, in prison, almost like the political prisoners, even though we ourselves, we just tried to sneak out. And, enduring all the interrogations and harsh living, which I didn't have to deal with that before. It was quite eye-opening. And then, of course, the last time I tried with persistence, I was able to succeed, and that was quite a trip in itself. Remind me a lot of the trip out Egypt for God's people. I live in Saigon, so I had to sneak out at night, go to some area close to the river, and, these contact will take me to from one small boat to the next boat, and finally, if everything goes well, then we would end up in the big boat. And in order for me to have those trips, my family had to pay the price for that, and it could go up to to a few thousand dollars. And the last trip, I myself was put in this boat, and it was a harrowing experience in itself, Kate. We thought we would get caught because I could hear the Coast Guard people ask, what's underneath the ship. And the captain basically said, only fish. And somehow, by miracle, they believed that, so they did not search. And so the next thing we know that we went through that, and why that whole thing, the search was happening. Little kids also cry. And we thought we would, the cover would be blown and we would get captured. And somehow, through that dark night, I look up in the sky. I could only see the stars and and nothing else. And the next morning, we found out that we were in the international water. So the captain let us, go up to the, to the deck and get some fresh air. Of course, we were not fishermen, so the sea was make us seasick, and then and of course tar from the boat make us get sick. We did not have food or water. They gave us just enough water to last. Our boat was floating at sea for 7 days, almost over a week before we get rescued. So during that time, we ran into a big storm, Kate. And that storm was, biggest storm I ever seen. Later, I came over here and saw the movie, The Perfect Storm, and tears rolling down my eyes because that was, a similar storm that I went through. I thought that night we would never make it. We prayed for rain, and the next thing we know that we got a big storm. The storm basically, the wave was like about over 20 feet high. And it cracked, the front of the boat, and we thought the boat would get torn apart.
Wow.
So we survived the storm. Yeah, we survived the storm. And, just like they say, be careful what you pray for, you might get it. So we got the water. So the water went inside the boat. And the boat itself is a dinky little boat. Had about 70, 80 people.
Wow, 70, 80 people. Father Vu, can you stay with us for another segment and continue this story?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Day Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tehibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
We're back with Peter Vu, Father Peter Vu. He's talking about what it was like on that boat and how harrowing it was, and comparing it to the movie The Perfect Storm when he saw that, what it felt like. So take us back to that moment. You were talking about how small the boat was, Father, that people didn't, I think people don't always realize that.
Yeah, so this boat here, they said I would be able to travel at sea. Basically, that means that the, you know, the head of the boat, you know, would be able to break the ride, you know, right over the waves. But it was dinky little boat because we had to sit knee to knee from one side to the other side. And there was, you know, over 70 of us in there. You know, women, children, men, you know, and kids and all that. So, we ourselves, you know, with that storm, the boat took in water and we didn't know, you know, how long that's going to last. Either that or the food itself would run out. In the meantime, we tried to, you know, scan the horizon. Two things we had to avoid, the captain tell us. First, we tried to avoid all the communist boats, our ship, because during that time, you know, the communists still had its pack, you know, Poland, you know, East Germany, Soviet Union, you name it. So if those communist ships see us, they're going to pull us right back to Vietnam, and we're going to be in big trouble. In the meantime, we also realized there's pirates, because we learned that a lot of people you know, refugee got raped and, you know, taken by pirates, killed and all that. So we had to watch out for those boats too. Also, we try to look for some ship that can, you know, can save us, you know. And so when we try to avoid the communist ship, because we can see through a binocular a little bit, you know, certain flag, we try to avoid it. The next thing we know, we lost, you know, the directions. And we lost, you know, we went out, you know, we lost the, our route. And, you know, most of the captains and his helpers did not know the sea that well. So we ourselves survived the storm that night. And the fun thing was that when we were in the midst of that storm, Kate, there was Buddhists in there. There's Catholic too. So the Catholic, the quickest prayer we can pray is the Hail Mary, because if by the time we pray the Our Father, that probably be the end of our life. So wow. We try to pray the Hail Mary. That's the shortest prayer. And the Buddhists pray their own prayer. And next thing we know that we were so scared, the Catholics start praying the Buddhist prayer and the Buddhists start praying the Hail Mary.
Wow.
So that was a funny moment, you know, looking back. So we survived that. We're floating at sea, the heat, the wave. It's funny, we go to the beach right now, but if you're floating at sea with the, you know, the sea water and the hot sun, you wish that you were not there. So we were baking like a, you know, like the fish. And then we ran out of water. And the next thing we know is that around us, there was a lot of shark. And we knew that, you know, some refugee was killed by shark before, because if our boat, you know, torn apart, that's what we face. So we also realized that there's pirates. And so the captains told us that, hey, we even though we are weak because no nourishments and, you know, seasick and all that, he tried to rally all the men and young men, our kids, our young boys, to put up a fight. You know, that was in theory. And we ran into, you know, quite a few pirate ships. And they ravaged us, you know, from, you know, from the first time to the last time, you know, women got raped and, you know, they beat us up and took everything. And so we were basically just floating at sea and we didn't know, you know, what's next. The next thing we ran into was when you ran out of food, the only way we can do it is that the idea of cannibalism came along. Now, for some of your audience who watched that movie Alive, you know, when I saw that movie, that also brought tears to my eyes because, you know, the captain talked about that and we just like, this is crazy. We, you know, we're not going to eat the dead or we're not going to eat, you know, the neighbor that we just saw a moment ago. But when you had your face life and death experience, you either eat a dead corpse or you're going to die. And we had to prepare psychologically and mentally about that. And as a kid, I was shocked. I just like, that is absolutely nuts.
Right.
But he prepared us for that. And when I saw that movie Alive and how they had to do that, boy, again, tears came down my eyes because I said I was about to do the same thing. And of course, you know, thank God most of us was really sick and almost dying, but none of us was dead yet. But otherwise we would have to do the same thing, to stay alive. And so through that, that difficult, you know, another hurdle with, that whole idea, thank God, you know, toward the end of the week, we were able to see a ship from, South Korea, with the, U.S. cargo on it. So that tanker, basically, you know, surround us, you know, go around us for about, you know, three times. And that is a big ship going around a small ship. And we thought we're going to get tossed over. And I said, by the time we get rescued, we already sink down the ocean. So we thought our dinky little boat will tip over or, you know, capsize. And So nothing happened, thank God, and they were able to, you know, lower down the rope ladder for us to climb up. And most of us were so weak that we almost thought that we might fall over, you know, the side of the ship. But most of us, all of us, was able to rescue. And I saw that dinky little boat, you know, fading, you know, when we were on the tanker. And that was the moment of salvation that I able to, you know, to see. But during, I mean, I forgot one thing that when I was in the boat during that storm of the night, I made a bargain with God, you know, just like a lot of people in the Bible. So I said, God, if you spare my life, I will try to, you know, be a good priest and, you know, serve you and God's people. And that was a deal I made, and God kept his his end, and I have kept my end and have been the priest for over 20 years now.
Wow. So we have a handful of minutes left. We could talk to you forever, and I'm sure the listeners are feeling the same way. But what's that been like, making that transition? You had that life. You come to the United States. Now you're a priest, and you hear other mm-hmm. people's struggles, and you're able to relate some of what happened to you, I'm sure, in your homilies, too, and use that humor that you have that we heard at the beginning with your congregation. What's that journey been like for you?
Well, it's another chapter, Kate. It's full of challenges, you know, from the language barrier to the cultural difference to all kinds of other daily struggles, you know, difficulties. I remember just learning how to eat pizza, for example. I never, you know, most people here love pizza, so it took me, you know, quite a few years before I could eat pizza, you know.
Get him a pizza. We'll show him how to eat it.
But you know, now, Kate, I live on pizza every day. I could live on that. But I think I could relate to people better with their struggles. What I go through give me a sense of compassion, a sense of understanding. I try to bring them, you know, the tool to help them overcome their struggles. So my story of struggle, difficulty, and despair, I can use that to relate to them. But at the end of my story, there's also a story of hope, redemption, and transformation. So there's the light at the end of the tunnel, and I myself able to help them see that. If I can make it through, then they themselves can rely on faith, on God, you know, on others, you know, to help them through. And so that basically my story in my book try to help people find resources or God's grace and God's help and the people that God sent along the way to help them through their own struggles, their daily difficulties.
Wow. So we want to tell everyone to pick up the book so you can get all those stories in between, too. Living for a Higher Purpose, Story of a City Boy Who Survived the Vietnam War by Living for Jesus and Others. Father Vu, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you, everyone, for giving me the opportunity to share my story. And I keep you all in my prayers, and let's try to live, you know, in God's grace and God's hope by helping one another. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.